Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Vayigash, Tavshin Pehei, as we get to one of the most, arguably one of the most exciting, even not arguably, it is one of the most exciting Parshios in the entire Torah. Last week left off on a cliffhanger, and we have Vayigash here, we have the meeting between Yehuda and Yosef, and so much that goes on. The Haftorah in this week's Parsha is crucial in terms of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. But this is it, the meeting between Yehuda and Yosef. And many see in the roots of this meeting the ultimate, as I just mentioned, the ultimate connection between the groups of Am Yisrael. And if you see in the beginning of source number one, Reb Blumenzweig, in here v'salachti b'sochachem, ha-mifgash ben Yehuda li-Yosef mituar b'medrash ke-mifgash. Mituar b'medrash ke-mifgash ben shnei malachim. It's like two kings meeting each other. Finally, Yehuda steps up. The question is, this is a meeting of kings. Im kavanasam l'tiur atidi mi Yehuda v'Yosef achen atidim l'tzeis malachim. There are going to be kings from Yosef, from Yehuda. Aval mistaklim ala hove. If you look in the hove, if you look in the present, Yosef bevade nikark b'manhiguso u'b'malchuso. Yosef looks like a king. Yosef is feeding the country, feeding all of civilization. Yosef looks like he's a king. He's acting like a king. He's taking care of everybody. What does Yehuda do here? How is this event in Yehuda's life, how does this sow the seeds of Malchus? Where do you see any element of Malchus in his behavior? He seems to lower himself, so to speak, in front of Yosef. Aval madua Yehuda nechshav lamelech, al mihu melech. Who is he a melech on, right? A melech below am. A melech has to be a melech on something, over something. So where's the malchus here? Yisei Rebizo, says Reb Blumenzweig. Me apsukim atzmam nikar hapa'er b'apar ben Yosef Yehuda. You see the difference. You see such a distance between Yosef and Yehuda. Yehuda ponel Yosef ke'eved al melech. Yehuda lowers himself like an eved. Yidaber na avdecha davar be'ezdei adoni. Valyichar apcha ba'avdecha. Ki chamocha kefaro. Pinia mitoch hachna'a va'avdus. It's a lowering. Imkein keitzad efshar lomar shizeo mifkash bein shnei malachim. The Medrash calls this a meeting of the two kings, the two leaders. What kind of leadership is Yehuda reflecting in his actions? Efshar ulai lomar she Yehuda nechshav l'manhig shel echav. Fine, he's the leader of his brothers. So where do you see that? Says the V'Zalakti B'Sochachem something very fascinating. Hanu'um shel Yehuda ma'aleh she'ela. This is one of the longest speeches, if not the longest speech in all of Sefer Bereishis. Right? How many psukim does this speech take? It goes from beginning pasuk yudches all the way until, right, all the way until the end of the parak. Lamed Dalet. Right, it's a huge, long speech. Mahu balachadesh. What's new in this speech? Yehuda marich bidvarav, ach lamaisu uchozer al dvarim sheYosef kfar yodeya. Yosef knew everything. He goes through, you told us this, and this is what happened, and you told us this, and if your brother doesn't come down, and shivu shivu lamad, avdachav, the whole story. So many mefarshim ask this question. What was he machadesh? Madua marchiv Yehuda bidvarav, umadua hu chozer amashek far goli viyadua. Why is he going over what he already said, what was already known to Yosef? K'dei lahavin zos yesh lasim lev ma'mavakish Yehuda miYosef. You have to look carefully. So what is Yehuda saying from Yosef? What is he asking Yosef? Einu mavakish shlicha mechidli, he's not asking forgiveness. I'm sorry we stole the cup. I'm sorry we took the money back. He's not defending. He's not apologizing. He has one request. One request. Like after the longest speech in all of Sefer Bereishis, what's his request? Take me instead of Binyamin. That's all he asks. Doesn't say, I'm sorry. He just goes through the history of what happened and he says, okay, now what? Take me. Yehuda mevakish rak bakasha achas lahachlif es Binyamin v'lios eved tachtav. Bakasha zu amura lios pshuta l'milui avor Yosef. It's simple. It's simple for Yosef. Yosef wants an eved. I'm a better eved. I'm better. I'm stronger. Ulam avur Yehuda bakasha zuy nepshuta klal. For Yosef, you have to offer. It's simple. For Yehuda, this was not pashut at all. He doreshes bimenu tatsumas nefesh. The unbelievable level that Yehuda got in making this suggestion and request tells us something, or even two things, about what Yehuda is doing now. Something new that hasn't been done yet. And maybe this is a tikkun gamur for Parshas Vayeshev. Reishis, Yehuda moser as asmo le'eved. Number one, he's giving himself over. He's a free person. He's saying, take me. Nirash yishpazet shuva shel Yehuda al-mechiras Yosef. Number one, he sold Yosef as an eved. He's saying, take me as an eved. Hu mocher as atzmo le'eved b'makam achiv. Right? Bimkom, selling a brother, he says, instead of taking my brother as an eved, take me. Ha'hefech mi'mechiras ha'ach le'eved. Zutshuva mida keneged mida. Right? This is, as with the Rambam describes, in the same situation, shebevade doreshes tatsumas nefesh shal hakara b'cheit v'chazara mimenu. But there's something deeper here. So that, many say, that Yehuda, but he says something else here that we don't always notice. Nira sheish nekuta nosefes b'dvarv shel Yehuda. Ulay mashmautit od yoser behekshir zeh. It's even more significant. Kish Yehuda matzias atzmo ke'eved b'makam binyamin. What is he saying? Take me instead of binyamin? He is acknowledging that binyamin is more chashiv to his father than he is. And that's something that is very difficult. Hu makir bu'uvda shebe'enei aviv Yaakov binyamin chashiv yosef b'medu atzmo. How one has to humble oneself and recognize that this is the mitzvah. This is the reality. Whether it's right or wrong, this is what my father needs and wants. Chazal take Yaakov to task for some of his actions. But this is the mitzvah. L'rishona magia echem me'achem la'kara. This is the first time that one of the brothers come to the recognition sheish adifus la'echem yibanav shel Yaakov. That there is a hierarchy. Yesh ach chashav yoser miyeser ha'achim. They couldn't accept that originally. Ar acha ha'achim is kachashu. They rejected and contradicted. La'adifu shenasan Yaakov li'yosef. Vizu aysa asiba shovila mechira. That's what led to the mechira. He's not better. Why are you showing him favoritism? We're going to show you. Ko'es Yehuda makir b'matzav ha'mishpachti. Yehuda recognizes. Shebo li'yakov Chashuv Yoser Shebinyamin Yashuv Abaita Vupal Behetan Latzav Zen. That's what he does. Hakarazum is Chadedes Bidvarav Shel Yehuda. Look in Yehuda's words. Look at the language that he uses. And again, it's not noticed unless we have our antennas up. What does he say? Turning the page. Vayomer Avdecha Avi Eleinu Atem Yedatem Kishnayim Yoldali Ishti. My wife. How many wives? Only one wife? Shnayim Yodali Ishti. This is Yehuda talking. Yehuda is saying, quoting Yaakov, Shnayim Yodali Ishti. Nisuach ze eino muvan me'elav klal. Not muvan me'elav. Yehuda mechaneas Rachel ishto shel Yaakov. Yehuda calls Rachel the wife. Right? Mitzayin rakesh shnei banel ke'ilu ein li Yaakov oda sarabanim. He recognizes that Rachel is the one that Yaakov loves the most. That was the one that was supposed to be, the only wife. That was one Yaakov had in mind originally. Shnayim yolda li ishti. Hare Yehuda mevin atom et ha-matzav ha-mishpachti. V'ulai afilu eina batuach shu atzmo nechshav leben b'ine Yaakov. He doesn't even mention himself. Ze ha-mahalech ha-adir she'over Yehuda. U'bekvosav misfadi Yosef elachav. Yosef finally sees this. This is what he can't hold back on. Right? V'lo yachol lehit apek. L'chol ha-nitzavim alav. He couldn't, because he recognizes that not only, okay, he's willing to give him as an eved, but he realizes that the root of the chait that really starts with the mothers, the wives, before he even gets to the sons. Mibein dvarav shel Yehuda nireshe dafka hanachuda ha'achrona. He shevi'el esvado shel Yosef. This is what Yosef can't hold back on. As dvarav la'achim u'poteach bofan maftia. Ravayishma Yosef elacha, v'yoma Yosef elacha, v'ani Yosef ha'ora vichai. And again, the Medrash already asks, right, Hadavar Harishon, Shachashuv Yosef, Hu Aviv, my father. Yehuda keeps saying it's about the family. You're the son, your mother's the wife. Yosef says, how's my father? Yosef me Eretz Mashashover es libo shel Yosef hu ameida al aviv. Right, this the information that he needed, that's what he took out of the words of Yosef. Zu totsa midvar shel Yehuda. Kshehuda chozer betshuva umakir beretzonosav shel aviv ubahargashotav. He realizes what Yaakov needs. He realizes his emotional state, his fragile emotional state. Hu ma'or lazeh gam es Yosef. V'gorim lehitpatchut milachsof shelo el achiyat, that he has to give himself over. This is a melech. This is a manhig. Recognizing the needs and the realities of others. Mibechina zu Yehuda v'Yosef heim shnei malachim, shnei manhigim. Kocho shel Yosef hu klach hanhoga al olam hagashmi. Hachitzoni. Yosef is the leader, is the melech of the physical world. He's Mefarnes, the entire civilization at that time. Humolech al memlacha shalema, v'yodei lahanig osa b'ofon mishlam. He knows how to lead it, amazingly. Yehuda, he's a manig over himself. He's a manig over inside. Yehuda hu amanig shel olam habayis, olam hapnimi, hu yodei lahanig es olam shemuchunas b'fnin, the private. What's inside? B'meishar ha-pashut shel habayis v'meishar ha-ishi. Personal. L'Yehuda yish koach l'cholo mahapecha. B'tochei nefesh. He has the power to take something and change it. Totally. Make a mahapecha. A revolution. To make a revolution in the soul. What he did. Where he came from. La'afokes ol en alamos ha-pnimiyim b'la'anigo sam al-kivan ha-nachon. So by giving away the chosenness, Yehuda, in a sense, got back the chosenness. Because he was the Melech. Malchus Beis David only comes from Yehuda. So Yehuda, only by recognizing that there are others in the center, that's what gave him. Ulai hanagaso shel Yosef nireis marshima yoser klapei chutz. On the outside, Yosef, taking care of the whole civilization, seems like something amazing. Ach muvanim rabim, davka koach hanagaso ha-shaket shel Yehuda, the quiet, Ezuhi Gibar Hakovish as Yisrael, right? That's something that is unique. And La'ar Zos, line 27 now. Nira ki anakuda ha'ikaris ha'mischadesh es benumo shel Yehuda. So what is the new? What's the new element in the Yehuda speech? Hashiva elav hela'av. He basically is giving all the children back to Yaakov Avinu. Yeladav shel Yaakov hisnatku me'aviem. All the children of Yaakov, maybe except Binyamin, all the children of Yaakov have been, there's been a disconnect. There's been distance between Yaakov and his kids. Ha'achim shemachros Yosef israchu meiratzon aviyim. The brothers that sold Yosef obviously went against their brother's father's wishes. V'achis kachashu. And they went against, they rejected, they denied his feelings. V'yosef shoyim menutak v'yaakov, and Yosef obviously was separated from Yaakov for 22 years. So the brothers felt distance. Yaakov felt distance and Yosef felt distance. Beinim hu bachar shelo lachadesh zakesher im aviv biyoto b'mitzrayim. Beinim lo hayazeh b'muda b'toch b'chira. Whether it was a decision or not, either way, he was distance. B'parshatenu, line 34. Chozrim hayaladim u'miskashim alaviyem. There's a reconnection. V'yigash is a reconnection, not just for Yosef and the father, but for all the brothers and the father as well. Again, it's not clear in the text ever. Ad sof sefer bereishis, whether Yaakov found out about the reality. Right? They say, after Yaakov died, the brothers go back and say, oh, dad said to forgive us. But it's not 100% clear. Hametzia, so we don't, but we know that in this week's parsha, they come back and there is a his kashrus. Okay, number one. Number two, second idea from the Beis Halevi. From the Beis Halevi, same question that we had before, and that is, what was Yosef Machadesh? I'm sorry, what was Yehuda Machadesh in this big soliloquy, right? In this big speech that he has, where he doesn't seem to say anything new. He just goes through the whole story again. The whole story. So what exactly is he saying new? And that's what the Beis Halevi asks in source number three. B'chol divrei Yehuda kan lo matzinu lo bakasha v'lo taina chadasha. There's nothing new. Rak chazaras hadvarim b'kotzer. In short, mashayi b'nei me'atchalav ad achshav. The whole story is reviewed. V'inyan bazeh. The chol taluchos ha'esek halaz ha'yanira b'ena Yehuda muzer u'mukshe. Says the Beis Halevi, look back to Parshas Miketz. Look back to Parshas Miketz. Let's look back at the psukim, and you'll see what bothered Yehuda. They come down. They come down because they were shever b'mitzrayim. They didn't take Binyamin. So what happens? Vayar Yosef is achav v'yakirim. I'm in Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Zayin. Yosef recognizes them. They don't recognize him. Vayisakalam vaydaber itam kashos vayomer lahem mayam basem. Where you come from? Vayomru. Meres Kanan lishbar ochel. We came to get food from Meres Kanan. Yosef remembers the chalomos. Vayomer aleihem miraglim atem. Leroz et eretz aretz batem. You are miraglim. You are spies. You came to do no good in Mitzrayim. Vayomer elav. They say no, aduni. No, you got it wrong. Incorrect. Vavadecha ba'ol lishbar ochel. We came to get food. Kulanu bnei yishecha nachnu. No, we're children of one father, and we're telling the truth. We're not meraglim. Vayomer aleihem, and he says to them, lo, ki eretz avazim batim liros. No, you're meraglim. Vayomer, and they keep going. Shnei masar avadecha achim anachnu, we're 12 b'nei yesh echad. One of them is young, he's in Mitzrayim. Vayechad einenu. Vayomer aleihem Yosef. That's exactly what I said, you're meraglim. What's going on here? Three non sequiturs. Totally, like, no answer to the question. You're spies. No, this is what we said. No, exactly, you're spies. No, and this is how you're going to prove that you're telling the truth. So, says the Beis Halevi, that's what Yehuda was bothered by. The previous conversation, there was obviously something missing in the translation. Right? He kept saying, you're spies, and that wasn't answering their question or relating to their question. Now, we look back to the Beis Halevi. D'ksha'amru lo kivo lishbar ochel, amar lahem, meraglam atem. K'shilivu lo kikenem anachnu, amar lahem, that's exactly meraglam atem. What's going on here? V'kol ta'aluchos ha'inyan lo haya tshuva me'in ataina. There was no answer that fit with the question. V'hakol ba'alila, b'lo shum smach l'dvarav. V'ila b'das Yehuda. Oh, I'm sorry, before that. And to recognize that Yehuda realized, I'm just adding this in, that Yosef was very smart, right? He was the wisest of all. Sure, Yosef was very famous, right? He was taking care of all of the economy. He was the finance minister of the whole world, and he was doing everything. And all of a sudden, he sees that he can't carry on a conversation, and he doesn't relate to anything I said. You know what Yehuda thinks? It must be the Melitz. It must be the Meturgaman is messing up, and he must be saying the wrong thing to him every time because he keeps saying the same thing. You're spies. Maybe he's crooked. And he's messing up. And therefore, he goes through the whole story because maybe he didn't get it. And what does Yehuda say? Yedaber no avdecha ba'oznei adoni. I'm here to say something now in your ears. I don't need any other interpreter. Pirich. Below Melitz Beinenu, ki kamocha kefaro. What is kamocha kefaro? To be a leader, you have to know all the languages. I'm sure you know our language. You don't need this interpreter. I'm sure you know the language. So you know what? Listen. Ki kamocha kefaro pirish, kamocha paro mevin gam lishonenu, kein gamata mevin. Ubar dvar beremez dim tomar, data eno mevin, must be paro doesn't understand. Okay. Seth the Beis Halevi, just giving pshat. Giving pshat of why he reviews everything. Because he thinks maybe that Yosef never got the whole story because the Melitz was messing up. Okay. Next, there is something that we discussed 14 years ago in our third year of the Shiurim that I like to go back to now, review, hope it's okay, to add on one or two thoughts to this idea that Rabbi Yaakov says. So we know Rashi tells us on this phrase, also, ki chamocha kefaro, back to the first pasuk in the parsha. Yehuda says, yedaber navcha ba'zei adoni, right, he's very meek, he's lowering himself, don't be angry, ki chamocha, and he calls himself his eved, ki chamocha kefaro. Chamocha kefaro, like you, like paro. So what does he mean? So Rashi quotes, very unusual. First Rashi quotes, the pshat, here's Rashi, chashav ata b'inai kemelech, say upshuto, you're like Paro, you're like a king to me. You're like a king to me, I'm lowering myself. That's the pshat. Kamocha kefaro. And then, umedrasho, and then all of a sudden Rashi goes off. Four midrashim, which are exactly opposite of the pshat. The pshat is, he's lowering himself, he's humble, he's subservient, and midrasho, sofcha lukos lof bitzaras. You're just like Paro. You're the ancient Paro with Avraham, he got saras, so too you're gonna get saras. Kemo shalaka Paro. Number one. Number two, davar acher, ma Paro goes every and makayim, just like Paro makes decrees and they are not fulfilled. Maftiach ve'eno oseh af atokein. Right? You also, you say things that don't come true. I don't believe you. V'chizu sima, I'm reading Rashi. V'chizu hisimas ayin shamarta l'sum einecha alav. You said, bring me the youngest son so I could look at him. Look at him, now you're stealing him. You're taking him away. Dover acher ki chamocha kafaro, im takni teni, erogot chavet paro. If you cross me, you and Paro are not going to live. What's going on here? They asked Rabbi Yaakov, how could it be that the drash is so different and opposite than the pshat? Sarach levayer, im pshuto hu chashuv ata be'inai kemelech. If the pshat is you're like a king, imkein lama bo ba'alei adrash v'amru hefech. The opposite. Shehisris kenegdo b'kam bezelzulim, and they were mezalzel and they disgraced him. Ve'echi tachein shadrash yisnagid el pshat min akatsa el akatsa. How is it possible? How is it possible that the drash goes so far? And he quotes in the footnote, just before we see the answer, Besicha Pratas Amar Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, that which the Ramban, Bivikucha V'manotshim, with he had those debates, these famous debates with the Christians, some of them weren't Christians, they were Christianized Jews, so to speak, She'enanu M'chuyavim Lahamin L'chom Midrashi Chazal, Hum Yishav She'yada Shle Yikavu Menros Atirutzim Shahayula. Right? He says that, you don't have to, every Chazal, take literally, was just saying that because he just wanted to, he didn't think that they would listen to him anyway. But really, every chazal has to be understood, obviously, on a certain level. But says Rabbi Yaakov, okay, so what's the question? How could the pshat and the drash be so different? Says Rabbi Yaakov, we have to understand what is pshat and what is drash and what the purposes are. Aval be'emes nireh, the be'emes b'chol dibur v'dibur shalonu yesh pshat v'drash. Everything we say, there's what we say, and what we mean. What we say is the pshat. And what we mean is the drash. That's how it works. Uladugma. This is, obviously there are midrashim that just talk about stories that nothing to do with, but when the medrash is talking about a conversation that's taking place. Uladugma nilkot. He says, let me give you an example. When Yaakov Avinu comes back to Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, line 13. Ki al kain ra'isi panecha kiros panei alokim batirtzeini. Esav, oh, you're like, what a godly face. You're like seeing you is like seeing a malach. Yaakov tells Esav, kiros panei alokim, Pirish Rashi, kedai v'hagin l'cha shetekabel minchasi, you should accept by mincha ala sharisi panecha, v'chashuvan likiriyas panei amalach. Sharisi sar shalcha. Right, well, so, number one, take my present, you're like a malach. What's the Medrash? Esav, I'm here to say hello to you. And by the way, I just fought with your Malach. And I won. Just to let you know. So what does he say? Oh, you're like an angel. What does he mean? Eini yacholo me'ata. Harei sha'af sha'amalo Yaakov davar ze l'chabdo. Yaakov says this thing to give him honor. U'bechol zos hitzalav ema. Dahainu bipshuto, because in the pshat is kabdehu umidrasho lukshiyachto. Talks about when you go deep into somebody's words, what they mean. Yishmashu rogali pagesh imalach. Says Rabbi Yaakov, it's the same thing here. Yinsayer na'ech yarech Yehuda safes paneach. How does Yehuda evaluate this person in front of him? As we just said, he's the wisest of all men. So wise, he took care of everything. And then all of a sudden, this brilliant person is making such a silly mistake and focus. What does he say? He says the first time, you're Meraglim, he locks them all up. He says, send one of you out. And then 3 days later, he comes back in, he says, okay, all of you can go out, and one of you stay. Doesn't seem to be so wise. He sees him go back and forth. Shouldn't some of this speech like praise Yosef, how smart he is and how wise he is? Not a word. Not a word describing Yosef. That's what Chazal said. It must be that he means something else.
Mizeh
vinu ki al derech hadrash hudvarim kashim shadibir elav. And he says ki hashkafa klalis belimud b'rashim she'elu ve'elu devi elokim chayim. We have to recognize this is a derech in learning medrash. V'gam kemosh nimsa b'torah pardes kemolchein b'chol adam yesh pardes. Every person has different levels, what they say and what they mean. V'hayinu shalakol echan mechel kenafsho. And he says, I've mentioned that elsewhere. So now let's look elsewhere. Where else does he talk about this? He refers to what he wrote back in Perek Yud Gimel of Brachos. Turning the page now. What we just saw was different levels in understanding words, in understanding people's, declarations. But now we're about to see even in people's actions. Even in people's actions, there is pardes and there are different levels of understanding. So he says, he's going back on the, remember why, when Lot separates from Avram, because he sees there is lushness in Sodom. Lush. Right? Kagan Hashem, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Bo'ach HaTzor, the most irrigated, it's most, Pierce Rashi, U'medesh Agada, Darshal Ginai. Why did Lot want it? Because it was his type of society. The Pesukim say it was lush, it was fertile. And Chazal say that Lot went there because Shtufei Zima. All it says in the Pesukim is that Kula Mashke. So explains the Emes Liakov there, who gamashkafa klalus lakama parshias patora, like he says there, kumosh yesh patora pardes, kumochen yesh ba'adam pardes, patora melisa. There are different levels of our actions. What we see by Yehuda? Of our words. Here it's even of our actions, and what he's about to say is, it might even be subconscious, and we might not even be aware of some of the behaviors that we do. We have hidden powers, levels, that work hard, that do a lot. We don't even realize, that we're being pulled in this direction and why we are. It's somewhere deep in our recesses. He continues. So deep down, for Lot, right, to skip for a minute. We give another example, but first let's get back to Lot, and then we'll do the middle example. On the bottom, line 41. If you ask Lot why he's going, I want to be rich. I want to live in a fertile place. That's what I want. There wasn't enough room for him and Avram. Avalheim Baruch Kacham Chazal understood. If you're living with Avram Avinu, how could you leave? For all the money in the world, you have an uncle who is the greatest servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kilu haya bepnimiyuso kahogan, vadesh yenotzi na libo, dafilu im parnasaso te mutzumsemes. It's better to be with Avram. Aval hachi milsa zedrasi ilios bekirvaso shal Avram Avinu. Of course, umikoshkin sharash akvar nisasher ade kirvaso shal Avram, he already got rich. Ech yitochein, how is it possible that for a couple of extra bucks, you're going to leave Avram? It must be that it's something deeper inside of his brain that he doesn't even realize, maybe. And that's Shtufei Zima. And the other example, so even in people's actions, this pshan and drash. In words, that's by Yehuda, this Pshanam Jas in action, as we see. And then he even quotes in the middle, Klal Yisrael's amazing complaint in Parshas Baloscha. Back to line 23. What do we see in Baloscha? Zachanu es adaga. Oh, remember the fish in Mitzrayim. Zachanu es adaga, asher nocha b'Mitzrayim, asher b'Mitzrayim chinam. the betzalim, the shumin, the onions. Oh, all we have here is man. All we have here is man. They had such great times in Mitzrayim. Revisionist history, right? The new, changing what happened. So again, how did Chazal know that there was something deeper here? Because it's crazy to have such a request based on the reality. They were really arguing. They were only complaining. They were complaining that they had limits on who they were allowed to be with. So again, all of these are examples. So therefore, I mean, what's the message for us? Let's say if we have to try to purify ourselves as much as possible in order so some of these subconscious drives won't be pulling us in a direction which we won't even know it's pulling us in. Okay. Rav Chaim Kanievsky in source number 6 just asked a question, doesn't answer. I'll just mention it. Just wondering why it is, and we can do our own research. Right, the Torah tells us in beginning of Mem Hei, after this whole Yehuda speech, V'lo yachol Yosef lehis apek, v'chol anitzavim alav. Yosef couldn't hold back anymore. What is that mashma? That he wanted to hold back. Sounds like he couldn't hold back anymore. Like he would have wanted to, but he couldn't. So why? Why was Yosef so in this state? Yes, he wanted the dreams to be fulfilled, and Nevuah, and the Ramban, and the Abarbanel, and all the different pshatim. But it says, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, B'chol ha'parsha nireh, sheYosef ratza, sheYavinu shehu Yosef. Yosef has been dropping hints to them throughout the whole story. Dropping hints, remember? He sat them in order of the Shvatim. Why were they the only ones chosen? How's your father? How's your little brother? Why is he asking? Why is he so interested in his little brother? Remember why we came here? We came to look for Yosef. He's so interested in the father. Maybe nothing. They don't get it. Bring Binyamin. He wants Binyamin to stay. There are so many hints that Yosef is given to the brothers. They knew. Ella, for some reason, Yosef wanted them to figure it out, it sounds like. But Menashamayim, he was meant to tell them. But it sounds like that he didn't want to tell them. He wanted them to figure it out himself. For reasons that he had. He had no choice. See, he just says it's Arachi, and he doesn't understand why. So once it reached a certain level, okay, whether it's to get them to do tshuva, whether the dreams to be fulfilled, that's all happened already. It's all done. So why at this point, why doesn't the Torah just say, Yosef, realizing all of his plans have been fulfilled, okay, now he reveals himself. It sounds like he still doesn't want it. And it also doesn't explain what he just mentioned. All of the hints that were dropped along the way, why did he do that? If he really wanted to hide his identity, he wouldn't have done any of these actions that would have called his behavior into question. So, something to think about, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed Yosef to reveal himself, but Yosef wanted the brothers to figure it out themselves. Okay. Moving right along. Rabbi Sachs, here in source number 7. What does Yosef say? What Yosef says here, Rabbi Sachs says, is an unbelievable event in history that never happened beforehand. Yosef was the first to do something. The first in history to do something. What happens here? Vayomer Yosef el achav, ani Yosef el avichai. They were in shock. As we know, they were in shock and they couldn't answer him. The Medrash, Oyli Omadin, Vayom Yosef Elachav, Yosef says, come close. Ani Yosef Achechem, Hashem Mechartem Osi, that you sold me. V'yata, Al Tiyatsu V'ayichar Be'neichem, Ki Mechartem Osi Heina. Don't be angry. Don't be upset. Ki L'mich Yashlachani, it's all part of the plan. V'yashlachani Akem L'fneichem V'chulu. Says Rabbi Sachs here in his essays on ethics, there are moments that changed the world. 1439, he quotes, the invention of the printing press. 1821, the electric motor. 1990, the World Wide Web. Tim Berners-Lee. Okay, not as famous. But there's a moment in Vayigash that was no less transformative than any of the above. And that's what happened when Yosef revealed himself. And he quotes the stories. What happened here? What was Yosef machadish? What did Yosef invent? Turning the page. Yosef invented forgiveness. This is the first forgiveness recorded in history. According to the Medrash, Hashem had forgiven before this. Kayin and maybe others on this question, I don't understand those psukim, but not according to the plain meaning of the text. Forgiveness is conspicuously lacking as an element in the Dora Mabel, in the Dora Flaga, right? Hashem doesn't forgive Mabel, Flaga, Sodom. When Avram Davin prayed his audacious prayer for the people of Sodom, he does not ask God to forgive them. His argument was about justice, not forgiveness. Perhaps there were innocent people there. You're going to kill innocent people. And once they were known as the people, Avram doesn't say, come on, forgive them. Give them another chance. Doesn't say give them another chance. He just says, maybe they're innocent people that never did anything wrong. Yosef forgave. That was a first in history. The Torah hints that the brothers did not fully appreciate the significance of his words. Right? He didn't say the words, Meichel. Right? He told them, don't be upset. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki lo michya shlochani. He told them their act had resulted in a positive outcome. But all of this was theoretically compatible with holding them guilty and deserving a punishment. So it wasn't so clear yet, even though that's what he meant, getting back to what we just spoke about before. Right? Only later on in the end of Bereishis, when they come to him afterwards, does he finally say that, you know, will the brothers say, forgive. Forgive. Yaakov said to forgive. When their message came to him, Yosef wept. What they said was a white lie, but Yosef understood why they said it. The brothers used the word forgive. Right? If you look in the end, in the, right, Sefer Bereishis has 50 prakim. So if you look in Perek Nun, what he's quoting here, Tezayin and Yudzayin, what do the brothers say? Sana pesha achecha v'chatasam kiragam alucha. Sana, sana, forgive us please. And Yosef cries. Why does Yosef cry? Because he realized they didn't get the message. He realized that for these years, they've still been living in, oh, he's not going to punish us, but he still holds us guilty. That's what he realizes that they didn't get. Right? They didn't get. What they said was a white lie. For Hulu on the top left now. Does someone truly forgive those who sold him into slavery? Yosef wept that his brothers had not fully understood that he had forgiven them long ago. He no longer felt ill will towards them. He had no anger, no lingering resentment, no desire for revenge. He conquered his emotions and refrained his understanding of events. And this is unique, Rabbi Sack says, in Yahadus. Yahadus has the idea of forgiveness, right? In other cultures and other religions, there is something else other than forgiveness. There could be someone who says, okay, I'm not going to take revenge. I'm not going to, you know, act, right? I'm appeased. Okay, you appeased me. That's not forgiveness. Being appeased means, okay, fine, it happened, but I'm not going to do anything. That's different, right? Forgiveness is based on another Jewish concept, and that, of course, is tshuva. And that's part of what Yosef had them do, but that's what Yosef was machadish, right? He talks about what happened with Yosef, but turning the page now. Appeasement, that's what he says on page 6 now. Appeasement as a form of conflict management exists even amongst non-humans. Really, animals have some type of conflict management. There are forms of appeasement and peacemaking that are pre-moral and have existed since the birth of humanity. Forgiveness is different because forgiveness is relating to tshuva. And that's what he says towards the bottom. Yosef is teaching them and the Torah is teaching us what it is to earn forgiveness. And that's what happened with Tshuva, right? And that's what he goes through, all the different stages, He writes on the top right, recall what happens. He accuses the brothers of a crime they had not committed. They're spies. He imprisons them. He holds Shimon as hostage, v'chulu. What do they say? This is definitely because of what we did to our brother, right? They admit. They admit to what they did wrong. Then they say, they confess, right? All the types of tshuva, right? Collective responsibility. And then what's that happens in this week's parsha? They're not going to do it again. It's Kabbalah La'asir, because Yehuda says, and that's not going to happen again. So this is all tshuva, but the tshuva leads to forgiveness. Right? And that's what Yosef is machadesh in this parsha, and that obviously is something that we need to, focus on and realize that, we have to do what we can in terms of being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being like Yosef in terms of forgiveness. Most things that happen to us in life is not as bad as being sold down to Mitzrayim by all of our brothers. So if Yosef can forgive based on the repentance of others, so we have to try our best as well to not be an action in terms of accepting repentance. Okay, a couple more thoughts for this year. Perek Memhei towards the end. So Yosef reveals himself. He sends messages to his father. The message to his father, Memhei Chavzayin, they go to up. Vayagidu lo lemar, Pasik Chavav. Od Yosef Chai v'chiyu Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef is alive and he's Moshel. Vayafag libo ki hu lo mem lahem. I heard B'Shem the Chassam Sofer. V'chiyu Moshel. Maybe he's a Moshel b'Yitzro. Because that's what Yaakov wanted to hear. And he couldn't believe it, that he could be in Ervas Haaretz. Okay. Vayidabar elav is called Dibir Yosef Asher Dibir Alihem. Vayares ha'agolos Asher Shalach Yosef L'Sei So. He sees the agolos, he sees the wagons. But the Chiruach Yaakov Avim, he sees the wagons, and that revives him. That revives him. And of course, Chazal, that we know, tell us agolos. If you switch around the letters of agolos, you could spell agola and egla. Egla is a calf, not just agola, a wagon. And maybe this is a reference to Egla Arufa, which is the last topic that Yaakov and Yosef were learning together, right? The story of the anonymous corpse found between two cities. You measure which is the closest city, and Zikne Ha'ir bring a, do a special tekes, a special ceremony. Yodina lo shafchu es adam hazeh, v'chulu. That was the last thing they were learning. And now we know that the Radvaz writes in a beautiful tshuva that in the Torah itself there are no nekudos. Right, would have been much easier for a Balkore to have Nekudos in the Torah. Right, in Megillas Esther, you could put Nekudos Maker Adin. Arminag is not to. But you have some, there are crowns in Megillas Esther's. Megillah is because Megillas Esther is somewhere between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. It's in Tanakh, but it's called an Igeres, as the Gemara says. That's why it's different halachas. But the Torah has no Nekudos. That's why you can read it. Egla, Agala. But there are many a drash. Of what's the message of Egla Arufa? Why Dafka? Is that the message, the last thing that they were learning together? So many talk about mutual responsibility, Egla Arufa and Yosef, mutual responsibility. But if you look in the Klei Yakor in this week's Parsha, he refers to what he wrote in his Sefer Ololos Ephraim. Shlomo Ephraim Lenschitz, the Klei Yakor, he says, look what I wrote in Ololos Ephraim at greater length. And there you have it there in source number 11. The Ololos Ephraim is the author of the Klei Yakor, Rav Ephraim Lenschitz. When he was ill towards the end of his life, they added on Shlomo Ephraim Lenschitz. But his name all the years was Ephraim. So he says, Ulefisha parches egla arufa, he says, drush, nirmeza hamedida v'hashara hasichlis. What's the whole idea of egla arufa? You measure the closest city, and you say, oh, it must be that the closest city is at fault. Because they must have let him out without levaya, without accompaniment, without food, without giving him proper protection. So it's all about using our mind to say, what makes the most sense? What makes the most sense? That's what Egla Arufa teaches me in terms of geography. Lefichach nomer etzel Yaakov. But says the Olas Ephraim here, let me give you a deeper idea about Egla Arufa, what the message is. V'yezlis boni b'inyin zeh. How did Egla Arufa teach him? How did he know for sure? He Egla Arufa, and what did the Pasuk say? He was revived. What was it about that? Of course, who knows? That maybe the Yosef didn't tell his brothers that this was the last thing. It is Egla Arufa. That's the message. She's boning Ba'osa Parsha as a Meli Yargish Yosef Chayil. No. Why? Because as he goes through, the Egla Arufa, as we just said, you do Medida, you do the measurement. Line 17. There's another idea of Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa doesn't just mean try to figure out what makes the most sense in terms of who killed, but what makes the most sense in terms of the state that I am in. Why is it? Again, sometimes you can't come up with it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by Eov, right? There was no suggestion. There was no idea that Eov could have come up with. But here, if we can think to ourselves, why am I going through this? Is there something that I could learn? Is there something that I did that I can improve on? We can't say that about anybody else. It's nobody's job to say, oh, why did this happen to you? Let me explain. For ourselves, we can do what we can. So Yaakov Avinu has been thinking to himself all these years, why did I lose Yosef? So what did he do wrong? What was something major that he did wrong? According to Chazal, 22 years away, Kibbutz. 22 years away. So that's the only thing he can come up with. But if that's true, Yaakov thinks to himself, it has to be 22 years. Because anything more than that is not Mida Kenegan Mida, and then I can't figure it out. Now it's been 22 years. Shizboni ben Yonosha Yosef Atzadeg Yizbonein Shlobachet Omes Shari Lohayakiyim ben Yuzayin. When he thinks about Yosef, Yosef died, he was 17, but Misa B'dei Shemayim is out till age 20. Bezen Shamala in Manishina Archav Shana Imkein Bevadai. If Yosef didn't do anything wrong because he wasn't 20 yet, so it must be me. So what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong for this to happen? Bavon Aviv Karalo Mashakaralo Ukshichapes Yaakov Eza Avon Garamlo, when Yaakov thinks to himself, what sin? Yizboni Shlohaya Bochet Acher, what chet did he have? Mashlokim Mitzvahs Kibbutz Aim. All those years. Again, could say his parents sent him to get a wife, maybe he should have gone right back right away, but he stayed there. Seve Chashov, Kamashanam Lohaya Yaakov, Makai Mitzvahs Kibbutz Aim. As Chazal say, how many years? 22 years. 22 years, like Rashi quotes in Parshas Vayeshev, Yomim Rabim, remember, because Yosef was 17. When he, oh, this is, well, the 22 years earlier, 7 years for Leah, and then the 7 years, and the years in, Shem Ve'ever, but it was 22 years. Me'osas manas yard Yaakov the Mitzrayim. And it's been 22 years from Yosef being sold. Remember, he was 30 when he stood in front of Paro. So that makes, right, 13, 70 to 13, and then 7 years of plenty, 20, and then 2 years of famine until Yaakov came down. So 22. It's 22 years. So there's gonna be 22 years Yaakov thinking that must be the Mida Kenegan Mida. But he didn't know, he just had that mystery in his life. But when Yosef sends him Egla Arufa, what's the message of Egla Arufa? Trying to figure out what's the closest city, what's the closest sin. So he realizes that 22 years are up. And Yosef must really be alive. And that's the message. The imkin ba'osos man sheshalach Yosef acharav nishlamu chaf beis shana elu. Mimaya Yosef meis, and kaya nenach Yosef min chaf beis shana. So he says, aderach drush, he says, that's why v'tchi ruch Yaakov aviyem. Because Yaakov realized, the only sin that's close, like Egla Rufa, is the 22 years that I lacked in Kibbutz Avaim, and that is what must be coming to a close now, and that's the message that he took from Egla Rufa. Okay, last thought for the evening, which is really a story, but it's a thought. Right, so towards the end of the parsha, Yaakov finally comes down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, and we have a question on Yaakov, and we have a question on Paro. Right, what happens? Yosef brings his father to Paro, and Paro looks at him, and doesn't say, welcome, great to have you. Right, what happens? Vayomer Paro Yaakov, how old are you? That's all Paro asks. What kind of strange question is that? How old are you? And what does Yaakov answer? Yaakov could have just given an answer. What, somebody asks you your age? Just say your age. You have to give a whole hesber. I'm 130, but it's bad and small. I'm not like my father. What's he giving the whole spiel for? Just say how old you are. What was Paro asking? But if he asked you a question, just say how old you are. I didn't ask you for anything else. Just tell me your date of birth. Well, when you have to, given your date of birth, you have a whole hesber, not my parents, and just tell me when you were born. What is he giving this whole negative, as we know Chazal picked up on this, ma'at v'ra'im ha'yu yimei shnei chayai. I've had a tough life. V'lo isigu es yimei shnei chayai, v'osai yimei migurim. I wasn't like my father. So what's going on here? So if you look in the Torah's Chaim, which is a sefer with the Torah of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, so he quotes, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik told all of this story, that when the Shagas Aryeh became the Rav in the Ir Metz, he became the Rav, he got the position at age 70. That's when he came to the Metz, was a huge city, big city, and he heard people, you know, overheard people like, I'm going to accept this old guy, how long, how much longer do you think we're going to have him? You don't have to go through the whole, you know, search committee again. Let's try to get somebody younger. We don't have to do this so often. So this is what he overheard. So the Shagas Aryeh said, he says, you know what? It says in the Torah, in Parshas Vayigash, that when Yaakov came to Paro, Paro said, how old are you? And Yaakov says this whole answer. And he says, V'lchora, yeshno l'feni yeshino l'shino k'fula. We have a double question on this. Lama ratza Paro da'as kama yimei shtei chayav. Number one, why is Paro asking him how old he is? First of all, that's probably private information. I guess it's less private for men than for women. But in terms of, what is he asking him for? V'lama lo sabi b'tshuvasa, and why didn't he just say 130? What was Paro saying? What was Yaakov saying? So says the Shagas Aryeh, no, remember, because right when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, the famine stopped, there was bracha. Paro realizes that the famine stopped because Yaakov came down, and therefore, what does he ask? He says, how old are you? Because he wants to know how old he is. Because if he's really old, is this famine going to come back? How old are you? That's what he asks him. And what did Yaakov answer? I'm not as old as I look. He says, I've been having a lot of tzaris. A lot of difficulty, a lot of tzaris. So that's why I don't look like my father. I haven't been in Florida just on the golf course, you know, with the tan. I've had it difficult. That's what he answers him. Says the Shagas Aryeh, I've had a lot of difficulty. I've been run out of other towns. So the Shagas Aryeh says, don't worry. I'll be here for at least 20 years. That's the Shagas Aryeh. And the Kachave. He was Rav until 90. In the Ir Metz, right? And that's the Shagas Aryeh. But again, that helps explain the conversation. Paro wanted to know because he didn't want Yaakov to die so soon. And Yaakov was saying, I'm not as old as I look. My father was older, but he was punished, as we know, based on that phrase. But either way, this helps with the conversation. And the Shagas Aryeh, who knew that he was gonna, who promised, so to speak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened, right? Tzadik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mikayim. Okay, we will stop here.